Matthew 17, because in, I believe, if there is, of all of these stories, of all these times when Peter interacts with Jesus, this one may be the simplest to learn. I don't know that it's the easiest, so let me say that one more time. I'm not saying easy, I'm saying simple. It is simple to learn. Where are they? Matthew 17, you tell me so you know I'm not making it up. Where are they? They're on a high mountain, all right? They're by themselves. Who's with Jesus? Peter, James, and John, all right? They're with Jesus, high mountain, all alone. He was transfigured before them. Now, folks, I don't know that I would have ever known what transfigured means. Don't know that you could even look it up in a dictionary and figure out what it means until you read what happened next. What happened to Jesus that would define what transfigured is? He started glowing in the dark. He started looking like flashing light, like the sun, and his clothes were white as the light. So Jesus became like the sun. It was that bright. Now Moses is there, Elijah, and my brain works. I don't know how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. I don't know if they had those little hello name tags on. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if somebody introduced them. I just know these three fellas, Peter, James, and John, had grown up all their lives hearing stories about Moses. Tell me a story. Those of you who've been going to Bible school all your life, you've had the same experience. Tell me one story you heard about Moses. Boy, he went up and got the Ten Commandments, stayed 40 days with God, and saw God write with his finger tablets of stone, Ten Commandments, brought them down to the people. Tell me something about Moses. He saw the burning bush, and the bush told him to take off his shoes and go back to Egypt and lead those people out. Give me one more. Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, and all of those, and when you're a kid, and it shouldn't be just when you're a kid, but in church, man, when you're a kid and you were hearing those stories, what'd you think about Moses? In fact, around here, Kelly's got a reputation. There's a picture somewhere back here of him being Mighty Moses. I mean, Moses is a big deal. And now here's Moses standing next to Jesus. Now, Moses isn't glowing in the dark like Jesus is, but he's there. Now, what do you know about Elijah? Again, those of us who grew up going to Bible class, we know about Elijah. Tell me something about Elijah. Man, that's how he ended his life. He's standing there all of a sudden. God came and picked him up. That's a great story. You ought to read that sometime. Give me another one. Oh, yeah. For 3.5 years, he gets fed by some ravens. And he's fed roadkill, folks. I remember thinking, the truth, that's where ravens would get the food, right? As a kid, I thought, well, is he flying by someplace and snatching fried chicken out of somebody's house and flying it to... And then I got older and I got thinking, the only kind of meat he's getting from a bunch of crows is roadkill. It's stuff that, you know, just, it's dried, it's... natural jerky, and but God fed him for 3.5 years. You can't miss this one though. I get to do this one. I mean, how about when the fire fell down from heaven and burned up in front of all those Baal prophets? I mean, if you're a kid growing up and like these guys would have grown up hearing stories about the heroes of their nation, the heroes of their God, Moses who brought them the law, Elijah who spoke as a prophet of God, and they see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, whom they're pretty well impressed with too, standing together, what would your reaction be? Honest, what would your reaction have been? I know what our culture would have done. Tell me, be honest. Yeah, could I get a selfie with you? You know, yeah. Some knothead kid the other day, I saw in the paper, about a 10-year-old Irish boy ran out in front of the Queen the other day in her procession and took a selfie of him and the Queen. They've not seen that kid since, so I mean, he may be gone forever. But what would we do? I want an autograph, I want a picture, that kind of stuff. They don't know. Peter doesn't have a selfie phone, and he doesn't have a way to get an autograph, but he does he responds. And there's no shame in this, folks. He was impressed with them. He said, Lord, I know I said you were the Christ, the Son of the living God, but you're in big company now. You're with Moses who brought us the law. You're with Elijah who went to heaven in a fiery chariot. I mean, you are somebody. Why don't we? Look what he says. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And just at face value, what does that sound like? Honest. That's a good thing. That's an honorable thing. That's including Jesus among the greatest men that the Bible ever mentioned. And while he is speaking, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Last three words. Listen to him. Jesus is not the servant that Moses was. He's the Son. He's not the servant that Elijah was. He's the Son. And since he is the Son, that's more than a servant. And with him, God is pleased. Was there a time when Moses was not pleased with God was not pleased with what Moses did or what Elijah did? Yeah. But with Jesus, he has never been displeased. With whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Those three words, folks, underline them, circle them, memorize them, and let's hopefully put them in our hearts. Listen to him. The key to growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus is that right there, is to listen to him. He says, let down your nets on the other side. I don't think it'll work. I fished all night and took nothing. But because you said so, Peter was listening to him. Can you walk on water? Only if he invites you. And Peter was able to walk on water further than anybody else ever did because he was willing to listen to him. Just make sure we're on it. Make sure we're focused on it. The three words that are the key to us growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. What are they? Listen to him. Everybody, listen to him. That's what all it matters, folks. That's all that matters. Now, we've got some folks here that have never heard what I'm about to teach. So I'm going to just introduce it to you because it's not the point of our lesson, and I've got to get to the point of our lesson. But you need to know. People in this room, and I love it, love it, love it. People in this room come here not because we got such a nice building. We do have the best chairs in the brotherhood, but they don't come here because we got good preaching, because we got fresh donuts. They don't come here. You don't come here to come to church, y'all. You don't come to this side of town. People don't just wander in here to come to church. They come here because they want to rebuild their lives. And we use God's Word to do that. And I love it when somebody here one time, I said, let's turn to Genesis. See, I grew up knowing those books. I sang that song when I was a little bitty guy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I knew all those things. I still have to sing it sometime to find those things, but I know the song. They didn't know the song. So I said, turn to Genesis, and that guy looked at me and said, what's that? The other day I was talking to somebody and I said, I was trying to get them to see a verse that's toward the end of the Bible. I said, all right, turn to the end of the Bible. I am not exaggerating. She went like this. She turned her Bible completely over and just like that. Well, that's not quite what I meant, end of the Bible. But she thought end of the Bible. We talked about it before, how Monica, when she started trying to learn God's Word, she was going to read the whole Bible in a week. Came back to me a week later and I said, did you make it? She said, no, man, I just barely got through the preface. I didn't even know the Bible had a preface until Monica tried it. But the point is, there are folks here that don't know the stories that I know, don't know the things that we were taught, those of us who grew up going to church. So let's take a second just to introduce this thought. When you start reading your Bible, you see a whole bunch of pages before you hit red letters, all right? From Genesis chapter 1 all the way through a book called Malachi. It's called the Old Testament. Old Testament. Now, if you're a kid growing up in church, you were taught there's 3 letters in Old and 9 letters in Testament, so there's 39 books in the Old Testament. That was drilled into our brains. But some of us didn't understand is back in the Old Testament on Mount Sinai when Moses came and got those 10 commandments, that was God telling the world, here is the law I want you to live by. This was the testament, the covenant that becomes the old covenant. Then Jesus is born under that star by the Virgin Mary. And you're reading now red letters, books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then He dies. And when Jesus dies, the Old Testament is fulfilled. The Old Testament is completed. The Old Testament is ended. And the New Testament The New Testament begins. And if you grew up going to church like I did, then you were taught 3 books, 9 books. That's 3 times 9 equals 27. There's 27 books in the New Testament. That's the most math I knew. Old Testament, 39 books. New Testament, 27 books. And it is this book that is the new covenant. It's the new agreement. It's the new contract that God makes with the world. So you, once in a while, when you're trying to discover God's will for your life, you want to discover what God wants for you, there are wondrous things back here in the Old Testament that will give you faith and will help you find comfort and give you hope to hang on during tough, tough times. But if you want to know His direction, if you want to know His commandments, if you want to know His promises that are specific and personal to you, it's right here in the New Testament. It's right here. Okay? And in that New Testament, you're going to have 4 books that are Gospels. They are the good news about Jesus. And then you're going to find letters that were written to the churches all over that part of the world to teach them how God wanted them to live their lives. And here's what God just told Peter, James, and John. And because it was written down, He just taught us. As wondrous as Moses is, as important as Elijah was, they are not Jesus. And if you're going to follow God, if you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, if you're going to make it all the way home, you listen to Him. He's the new lawgiver. He is the prophet that speaks in these last days. He is the Son of Almighty God. Now that's an important lesson to learn. Okay? That's an important lesson to learn. But I know us. I know us well enough to know we need to at least address this before we close. Who do we usually listen to? Honest. And I need honest, personal, specific, non-Sunday school answers. Who do we usually listen to when it comes to decisions, when it comes to preferences, when it comes to choices? Who do we usually listen to? Self? I heard self. Who do we listen to? Friends. Friends. Parents.
The squeaky wheel.
The squeaky wheel. Culture.
Satan.
All of those answers reflect something we know about ourselves, right? Some of us grew up and should have listened to our parents more than we did. But some of us have gotten to the point with our parents that when our parents aren't teaching us what is right, we need to break free of them and listen to Jesus instead of our parents. But I don't see us as having that problem. Where I see the problem for most of us is we pay attention to the friends or we pay attention to the culture. And most of all, we pay attention to ourselves. So what I'm going to do is just focus on ourselves. I'm going to focus on the things I say to me. And maybe there are things that you say to you. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches that there are three things that invite us to do things that we shouldn't do. He'll call it, in my old Bible, he'll say it's the lust of the flesh. He'll say it's the lust of the eye. He'll say it is the pride of life. Those are the three ways that Satan tempted Jesus. That's when Satan was in the garden, was in that wilderness with Jesus when he was 40 days hungry. He said, man, here's some stones you could turn into bread. And Jesus was hungry, so that was a temptation. That was a desire of his flesh. And then he takes him and shows him all these kingdoms and shows him all the riches and all the power. And he's, man, that's the lust of the eye, the desire it looks good, I want that. And then there's that pride. You jump off the temple and angels will swoop down and catch you and everybody will know you're his son. And that pride, that lust for ego, that lust for self, those are the things that cause us the most grief. When you look back at your life, and I need you to do that for a second, and the most destructive thing that happened to you that was caused by you. Now, sometimes destructive things happen to us because of other people, but sometimes destructive stuff happens because myself. In my case, that was the case. But what was it? Which one of these was it? You don't have to say, and we would if we needed to, but you don't have to say what it was. Just tell me, which one of these was it? Anybody in here ever derailed, distracted, damaged because of the lust of the flesh? I'll make it easy on you. I'll hold my hand first. Yeah. All right. Anybody in here ever made a choice, made several bad choices based on, well, this just looked good. It's something I wanted it because it looked so good, and it was like you couldn't think anymore because you wanted this so much. Anybody else have trouble with lust of the eye? All right. Now, I'm not even going to ask the last one. Anybody in here ever had trouble with your pride? If you haven't, just hold your breath for the next 30 minutes. Because the truth is, at the root of every bad decision we've made, at the root of every sin we've ever committed is what? It's me. It's my pride. It's my selfishness. It's my lack of concern for what God wants or what anybody else needs. So who do I listen to? If I am going to make it to home to heaven, if I am going to follow Jesus, if I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, what do? I listen to Jesus, and I've got to teach myself to stop listening to my skin. I've got to stop listening to my skin. Now, what's that going to involve, y'all? It's going to involve some self-control. What's it going to involve? Listening to the Spirit. What's it going to involve? Avoiding some things. What's it going to involve? Saying no to yourself. Did Jesus just teach His disciples that one of the ways you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus starts with denying yourself? This is one of those things. You may want the pleasure. You may want the pleasure of the food. You may want the pleasure of the sex. You may want the pleasure of the high. Whatever it is. Food, sex, high. God gave our bodies the ability to feel pleasure in all those ways. And there's others. Those came to mind because of us. What do? When my skin is saying, I want, I want, I want, that's what lust is. When my skin is saying, I want, I want, I want, what does Jesus say? Well, He says flee in one place. He says flee youthful lust. That means to run away from it, be scared of it. Don't get close to it because you get burned by it. Remember the Proverbs taught us that if you scoop fire in your lap, you're going to get burned? Exactly. That you get close to those kind of things, you can be hurt. So rather than listening to myself, I listen to Him. Anybody, I don't know if we're ready to do this. You're much more ready than that second group, so let's try it. We have a lot of folks that struggle with addiction. And it's not always a drug, and it's not always alcohol. What would Jesus say about that? Tell me words from God. I'll take Old Testament or New Testament. Words that come from God that can help me understand, help me remember that I should not do that as I try to listen to Jesus. All right, meditate on Him. In fact, there is a passage in 2 Corinthians where he talks about some people being addicted to service. That's good, addicted to God. Give me a verse, though, that said would speak about saying no to an addiction, and saying no to a high. All right, Satan's trying to get him to satisfy that pleasure. He tells him to get behind me, Satan, and if you resist the devil, he flees. Flee youthful lust in 2 Timothy, Raymond. Well, I tell you what, I thought that one jumped out at me. Talking about substances that will give you a high, what does the wisdom of God say? In the end, it will bite like a serpent. Don't gaze at it because when you start gazing, you're going to start wanting. It's going to be that lust of the eye, and it's going to taste, it's going to go down smoothly. All right, Gary. In fact, Jesus' own words were, man's not going to live by bread alone. What would you think? We'll get to that. If I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, then I've got to replace the voice of my pleasure, my skin. I've got to replace the voice of the eye when I look at something. I've got to replace it with the voice of Jesus that says, you don't need that. I've got bread for you. You don't need that. I've got peace for you. You don't need that. I've got joy for you. You don't need that. I've got a high, I've got glory waiting for you that you can't imagine. Tell me right quick, something that in personal and specific, a lust of the eye, a sin or a temptation that is the lust of the eye.
My friends that have pretty houses, it's hard for me
the idea of comparing is right there. I look at something, you know, I loved my old car, 1960 Falcon, paint peeling off of it. Headlight go out, that's okay. You go kick it on the side of the car, it'd come back on. Slam the door, the horn would honk. It was a great, and you couldn't, there was no interior light, so you couldn't tell how fast you were going, which was to some advantage, except that car wouldn't get over any kind of advantage. But you could tell how fast you were going because at 65 it would shake so hard you couldn't keep it on the road. I think that was by design. I loved that old car, loved that old car. And then my friend got a new car. And what happens? Ooh. It happens to us, doesn't it? Somebody pulls up here, a nice car. Somebody go to somebody's house, they got a nice house. And we start comparing. That's lust of the eye. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say about that? If it causes you to sin, get rid of it. What does Jesus say? Okay. And the things that money can buy. How many of us have made serious life, family, damaging decisions because we couldn't live within our means and we refused to. Pornography, money, the things money can buy, all of those are part of the lust of the eye. And what did Jesus say to do? What does Jesus say about that? If we're going to listen to Jesus, what does Jesus say or any word from God that Jesus would approve? What was at the heart of that phrase? Don't covet. It's stop wanting what somebody else wants, because what will happen? What's possible? If you keep yourself fantasizing about what somebody else has, whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's a wife or a husband, what happens? All right, you replace desires. What happens? It pushed David to commit adultery and then murder. I heard somebody else.
Because
he had 30 pieces of silver. Wanted some cash. Guys, what we got to learn to do is we've got to learn to stop listening to our desires. We've got to learn to start listening to Jesus. Does Jesus ever teach us to be content? Does Jesus ever teach us that what we really ought to hunger and thirst for is righteousness and not stuff?
Store up your treasures in heaven.
Because what's going to happen to the stuff? Go to your storage bin, those of you who have one, and I know you, so I'm looking at you, all right? Go to your storage and look at it. What does it look like? Covered with dust, right? Guess what the next step is? Well, in our case, some kid's going to need it, and we're going to ship it off. Yeah. All right, that's what we're hoping. Let's go to this last one. It is at the heart of it, folks. What we got to do is we got to stop listening to us. The man who thinks he is wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than him, Proverbs says. Let's stop thinking that the way we were raised was the best way to be raised. Let's stop thinking about the things we've always done, we've always done. No, let's start listening to Jesus. Let's start listening to Jesus. And when it comes to our pleasures, when it comes to our preferences, when it comes to our choices, let's make sure we're listening to Jesus. I don't know that I'll always make the right decision, and I don't know that I'll always know a verse that will give me Jesus' exact words he would say about any particular question I might have. Jesus, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? But if I start asking the question, what happens? If I at least start asking the question, Jesus, what do you think? Jesus, what do you want? Jesus, what do you want me to do? What happens?
It changes the focus,
doesn't it? It turns my thinking around that it's not just what I want, it's what He wants. Now, he's not talking about any of us, is he? Yeah, right? Because it's one thing to say, yeah, people don't do that. People don't trust. It's I don't. I struggle with that. And if I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, I seek what He wants. I listen to Him. Not always easy. It's not always easy, but it is simple. It is simple. I don't have to be able to explain it to everybody. I don't have to be able to justify it with a backup verse. I just ask the question, Jesus, what do you want? And then seek His wisdom, seek His will. All right? It's a good time. It's a good time for us to eat this supper. Because a part of this supper, a part of eating this bread that reminds us of His body, part of drinking this cup that reminds us of His blood, what it does for us, it causes us to rethink our choices. It causes us to rethink our decisions. This week, did I give everything I was to Jesus? Did I listen to Him? Did I keep my eyes on Him? Did I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? And if I didn't, thank God that His blood washes our sins away. But He is the best example there is of what I should be and what I should do. Let's focus on that.